Well, it's a privilege once again to be with you, and with two Sundays that we can have together, we've sort of put together maybe a little series, and I'll share with you what the topics will be, Lord willing, for the four times that we'll be opening God's Word together. This morning we want to look at God's pardon, and then this evening we'll look at God's peace, and then next Lord's Day morning we'll look at God's power. And then in the evening, we'll look at God's presence. You know, all preachers have to put things in P's. That's just something they teach you. So, but it does help you to remember it, doesn't it, a little bit. But we want to take up the subject of God's pardon this morning. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. In Jeremiah chapter 33, the Lord is speaking with regard to Israel. And yet we see there are many applications that we can make as well to ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 3, and we'll read verse 8. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. You notice how repetitive that phrase is there? In both cases, in the first part of the verse and the second part of the verse, the Lord brings up the fact that our sins and our iniquities are against Him. That when we sin, we may think that it's against one another, but really our sin and our iniquity is against God. And you know, it's a serious thing to sin against God. It's a serious thing to have that account reckoned to you, to have that, shall we say, on your record, to have on your record the fact that we are those that have sinned against God. And what a tremendous message the Lord says as He comes to the nation of Israel. He says, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. I will pardon all of their iniquities. Isn't that a tremendous message? For an individual who knows that they have sinned against God, for those that know that on our record we stand condemned before Him, and then to hear Him say, I will cleanse you from all your iniquities, and I will pardon you. I will take away the penalty, the just due that you deserve. It'll be taken away. You know, I believe that a pardon is one of the greatest needs that mankind has today. You can see it all throughout society. My, there are prisons that are full of individuals who would desire to have a pardon from the governor. And just recently, we've heard of some states where the governor has granted an entire pardon to everyone on death row. Just recently, Uplook magazine had an article of on Steve Linscott, who 22 years ago was convicted of murder, a murder he didn't commit, and he has just been pardoned. His record has been cleared there in the Chicago area. And oh, how there are so many broken homes today. There needs to be a pardon. There needs to be restoration. There needs to be forgiveness. How many broken relationships are there? How many situations are there where individuals aren't on the right terms with one another? Know how there needs to be a pardon. How many hurting situations. But you know, one of the greatest needs of pardon today is our need as we stand before a holy and a righteous God. Every individual, every person who has ever born in this world will one day stand before God. And they'll either stand before God in their sins without a pardon, or they'll stand before God on the groundwork of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood shed for them, and they will have been pardoned. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a hard choice for me. If I'm given the choice, do you want to stand before God in your sins without a pardon, and suffer the due reward of your iniquities and trespasses before him? Or would you like to stand before God fully forgiven, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and pardoned of all your iniquity? That's your choice, isn't it? That's all of our choices. That's what every one of us have, to choose to stand before God, either in our sins or having our sins laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have suggested that the word pardon might not be the appropriate word to use when we're looking at salvation and the things of the gospel in the New Testament. And it's because we have this concept of how the word pardon is used in the English language. The room was rather crowded where we had our refreshments in between the break. And a couple of times I had to say, pardon me. You know, we're holding coffee and bumping into one another. And we say, well, excuse me, I didn't mean to bump you then. You see, and that's what we think of when we think of the word pardon. Excuse me. Overlook me. The English word means to simply forbear to exact the penalty and to overlook or excuse. Now, that's not what God does. That's not at all the pardon that God offers. God doesn't overlook our sin. He doesn't say, well, I'll just excuse you of your sin because I like you so much or you're such a nice fellow. God deals with our sin. And we get the thought from the original language in the Bible. Here we have the word pardon as it's used in Jeremiah. And the Hebrew word is the word kael, K-A-L. And it means something totally different than how we use the word in the English language today. The Hebrew word there means to forgive and to take away sin and to satisfy fully the guilty one. When you find this same Hebrew word used, and as we see it translated into the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, we find very similar words that we're used to in the New Testament being used, such as mercy and grace and justification, redemption. And so we see that this word pardon, as God uses it in relation to men's sin, is a very, very good and appropriate biblical term. Because when God uses the word pardon, he doesn't mean, excuse me. He means, I want to deal with your sin fully so that my holy, righteous character is fully satisfied and I have not one ounce of wrath for you for all eternity. I am totally satisfied and my holiness is just as I justify you and bring you into a right relationship with me. That's what God wants to do when he says he wants to pardon us. You know, I find it just amazing that God even wants to pardon us. What is there in us that would desire him to want to even pardon us? He's a holy God. He hates sin. Sin is repulsive to him. And yes, in spite of all of that, God's heart is revealed time after time in the Word of God as one that longs to pardon, longs to pardon. I want to share with you 3 points on this subject of a pardon. Number one, God is willing to pardon. Number two, God is ready to pardon. And number three, God is able to pardon. God is willing to pardon. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And we'll begin reading at verse 6. Just back a few pages from where we were. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not as your thoughts, neither as are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verses 8 and 9 have to be taken in the context of what was just said at the end of verse 7. It says at the end of verse 7, He will abundantly pardon. Speaking to us as sinners that have transgressed against Him and that have committed sin against His holiness and His holy name. And then He goes on to say, you know, the way I think is not the way you think. My ways are not your ways. And what is He saying there? What He's saying is if you were God, and if you were standing in my shoes, and I had sinned against you like you have sinned against me, there would be no hope for me for a pardon. I would be miserably lost forever. But my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways. Those that have sinned against me, oh, I have a heart that still goes out to them. And I have a heart that still longs to bring them to myself. And I have a love that goes on, waiting for sinners to come and accept this free gift of salvation. Oh, we have a God who will pardon abundantly. And His ways are so different than our ways. Oh, I'm thankful for the God that we have. It says that His pardon is an abundant pardon. It reminds me of that verse in John chapter 1 and verse 14 where it talks about grace. And it goes on in verse that of His fullness have we all received grace for grace, or grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And it just keeps going on, layer after grace upon grace upon grace. And that's the pardon that the Lord provides to each one of us. It's an abundant pardon. Let's consider how abundant it is. If I'm the governor of the state of North Carolina, and I'm considering giving a pardon to someone on death row, and I've got the paperwork in front of me here, and it says that I'm willing to lay aside all the past offenses of this individual, I'm going to clean the record, and I'm about to sign the piece of paper that says this individual is pardoned, and someone comes into my office and they say, you know that individual that you're about to pardon, taking care of his past sins, well, he just stabbed one of the guards just a minute ago. Oh, the governor says, well, if that's the case, and the pardon's torn up. What does God do with our sins? Not only does He pardon our past sins, not only does He look at everything that we have done up until now, and He says, I will forgive it, but He as well deals with our present sins, and He says, if you sin again in my presence, I will forgive your present sins. But not only that, what governor would ever issue a pardon to an individual on death row and say within the pardon, and if he ever commits murder in the future, I'll forgive that too. But that's the kind of pardon that we receive from God. It's an abundant pardon. It's a pardon that deals with our sins, past, present, and future. They're all covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. No wonder the prophet says here that he will abundantly pardon. It's a continuous pardon that he gives for us. Look at what Acts chapter 13 says about this in the New Testament. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified
by the law of Moses. Through the preaching of this one Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary's cross and His blood that was shed for us, we are justified from all things. All of our sins and our iniquities are laid on Him. What a tremendous pardon that we have. If you take that phrase, He will abundantly pardon, in Isaiah chapter 55, and you translate it very literally from the Hebrew, it means He will multiply and multiply and multiply the pardon. It's a pardon that just keeps continuing to pardon and continuing to forgive. It was Alexander McLaren, one of the great Bible expositors of the past century, who said this: the two greatest motives for repenting and accepting God's pardon is the unconditional loving kindness of God, number one, and number two, the fact that His pardon and His offer may not always be available. Did you notice how we started reading in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6? It says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." The Bible says in the New Testament that, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And the gospel message, if you're living and breathing and listening to the Word and listening to the Spirit of God that's speaking to your heart, now is the accepted time. But who knows what a day may bring forth? Who knows what this afternoon may bring forth? For some of you here that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this may be the very last opportunity that you would ever have to receive Jesus Christ. This might be the last time that you will have your availability to say yes to one who abundantly pardons, one who desires to forgive you of all of your sin and bring you into a right and positive relationship with Him. He is willing to pardon. Not only is He willing to pardon, He's ready to pardon. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. The book of Nehemiah, back a few books, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 16. We cut into some words that Nehemiah is saying on behalf of the people as he's confessing the sins of the people in representative fashion. And he says, "But," in verse 16, "but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were they mindful of thy wonders that thou didst amongst them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But," oh, we thank the Lord for the buts of Scripture, these beautiful words that turn the situation to a point from hopelessness to hope, "but thou art a God ready to pardon." Ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh not them. And as you read the following verses, it goes on to describe how that even in spite of Israel's sin, God still cared for them, protected them, and provided for them. He is a God who is so gracious, so loving, so kind. Can you just stop for a minute and think of how gracious God has been to you? If I was to give you a sheet of paper and just ask you to take a few minutes and fill it up with everything that you can think of that has come to you from the gracious hand of God, that you didn't deserve, that you received freely of His grace, oh, the things that we could say that we've received from such a loving and a gracious, gracious Father. The Bible gives us some views or some pictures of the Lord in His readiness to pardon. In one place, it pictures Him as as a mother that is just listening for the voice of her infant child cry in the night. Have you ever, those of you that are married and those of you that have children, you know how dads, we kind of just sleep through everything, you know? But the mother, all that baby has to do is just sniffle. And mom's up. Uh-oh, I heard a sniffle, you know? Now, I'm told after the third or fourth baby, she doesn't get up quite as fast, you know? Maybe she waits till about the tenth sniffle, and then she says, I heard a sniffle. But the fact is that a mother's ear is tuned in to the needs and the cares and the concerns of her children in a beautiful way. And you know, that's the picture of our Father, our Heavenly Father, in heaven above. His ear is constantly tuned. It's as if his ear is just straining to hear the slightest whisper, the slightest call of a sinner that would come to him and say, Father, I've sinned against thee. I deserve to be condemned. Please forgive me. Wash me clean with the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, the Father loves to hear that voice. His ear is tuned and ready. He's just, as it were, standing on the edge of heaven, just waiting for that call from any sinner that would come to him by faith and call. His ear is tuned. There's another picture of this in the Word of God, and it's the picture of the Father looking for his prodigal son. Oh, the Father who had a son that had gone his own way and had gone into a country and wasted his substance on riotous living and got to the bottom of his ropes. And there at the bottom of his ropes, he said, I'm going to come home. I'm going to come home to Dad. I know that I'll get better treatment, even if I'm a slave in his household. And then where do we see the Father? Well, the Father, as it were, each and every day, he scans the horizon. He looks for any sign, any glimpse of the coming of his son home. Oh, how the Father longs to see someone come home, someone to come to him and accept him as Savior and Lord. And then there's a third picture of the Father in this regard, and that's the man who prepared a banquet. He's the host, and he's provided the meal, and he's set the table, and all of the stewards and the servants are ready, and everything is fresh and hot and ready to be set before the guest. And he invites the guest. He says, come, for all things are now ready. And what does he hear? Oh, well, I'm sorry, I can't come because of this. Well, I can't come because of this. Well, I can't come. I've got this. And one excuse after another. But he stands ready. And he's ready at this very moment. He's ready to pardon. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3, it says that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God the Father is just waiting for each sinner to come and to accept his Son. But there's coming a day when his patience, his long-suffering, will be overcome by his will and his program on earth to bring together a church unto himself. And the age of grace will come to an end. The church will be complete. It will be full. And he'll turn to his son and he'll say, Son, your bride is complete. Go get her. Bring her to yourself. Unite her to yourself and bring her home to me in heaven. And the son descends into the clouds and he calls his church to be with him. And forever we'll be with the Lord. And after that, there's no second chance. In spite of what you may have read in some popular novels today, about the second coming of the Lord and being left behind, and some of the popular videos that are out on this subject today, God's Word is very, very clear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes it very clear that if you have ever heard the gospel and you've had an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you said no to that invitation, my Bible says that God will see to it that you never get a second chance. My Bible says that God, not Satan, not the Antichrist, not the false prophet or the beast, but God will send a delusion. And he will keep you deceived and deluded to the point that you will never be able to believe and trust in him after the rapture. And that goes for everyone here this morning that's listening to my voice, that would leave this morning and say no to the gracious pardon, the gracious offer of a loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he willing to pardon, and not only is he ready to pardon, but I'm thankful that he is able to pardon. He has the authority. He has the power. He has the legal, heavenly, divine right to say, your sins are forgiven. He said that on the earth a couple of times, and men tried to challenge him. What authority? By what authority do you say, her sins be forgiven thee? You can say, well, pick up her bed and walk, you know, or be healed, but when you say, thy sins be forgiven thee, oh, that's a different matter. But in Numbers chapter 14, let's look there for the third reference. If you're taking notes on these 3 points, Numbers chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Numbers 14, 19. We see here Moses pleading to the Lord on behalf of the people, very similar to what we read of in Nehemiah. And Moses says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to thy greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned, according to thy word. I have pardoned. And what is the basis today upon which the Lord Jesus Christ can say, thy sins be forgiven thee, if you come to him in faith, believing and trusting him and his work? Well, the best verse that I can come to that establishes the basis for his right to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, is Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Let's look at that verse together. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. God has the authority and Christ the power to pardon our sins. And he does it without any violation of his holiness. He does it without any violation of his sinless perfection and his holy character. And the reason is because of verse 32. He, that is God, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, the very basis of God's pardon is built upon the fact that he took his only begotten Son, the Son of his own delight, of his own heart, the Son who never failed him, who never sinned, was fully God, and yet became fully man. And there on Calvary's cross, he, as it were, took his Son and laid him on an altar. And unlike Abraham, when the knife was about to plunge and the angel said, wait, hold it up, God's knife of wrath continued to come down and plunged into his Son. And there on Calvary's cross, he delivered his Son up for you. He delivered his Son up for me. He put all of my sin, past, present, and future, all of your sin, past, present, and future, he heaped it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he judged every ounce of your sin with every ounce of his wrath, till he was totally satisfied. You know, if there is a desk in heaven, like maybe in the Oval Office, you know what's sitting on that desk? There's a pardon for your sins, and your name is on it. Your name is on a pardon in heaven on the basis of God's blood and his Son that died for you on Calvary's cross. Oh, how foolish it would be for the governor of this state to go to the penitentiary and say to an individual who is on death row, I have a pardon that's been signed for you. And you just ignore it. You take it lightly. You say, well, it can't be true. My sin is too great. The governor would never pardon me. I'm sure there must be some mistake. Or I just don't have time to think about that right now. I've got another thing that's more important to worry about. My, that would really make headlines, wouldn't it? That would be some story. And yet, as I said, the Lord Jesus Christ has died, and according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 6, he has become a ransom for the sin of the whole world. The whole world has been pardoned from all of their sins. Everyone has been pardoned. That's the message. God is not only willing, God is not only ready, but God is able to pardon us from all of our sins. And he's just waiting for each sinner to come and just simply, by faith, receive that pardon. Accept it as a free gift from himself. How foolish it would be for man to say no to such a pardon. It's the psalmist David that says, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquities, and to whose sins are forgiven. Do you want to be blessed this morning for all eternity? Then accept the pardon that's been given to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just one more verse that I want to leave with you. It's John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. And this is a verse that speaks of our eternity. It speaks of our soul that's being weighed in the balance. It speaks of the most eternal and important subject that you can ever consider. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, in other words, of a truth, I say unto you. And this is Jesus speaking. This is God the Son speaking. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You've received a full and abundant pardon because you've believed in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you've not received his Son, then you stand condemned. And you don't pass from death unto life. You stand in death. And death is all that you have to face for an eternity. The prophet Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, your sin today is the only thing standing in the way of eternal life. And there's been a pardon that's been signed with your name on it. And God is just longing to give it to you. He longs to just say, you're totally forgiven. My Son paid it all. And all he's waiting for is just that voice of faith that comes and says, I believe it. I accept it. I will personally accept you as my Savior today. I trust if you're not saved that that would be your choice this morning. That you wouldn't leave here without being assured that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. We're just going to be dismissed with prayer. But I'm going to stay up to the front here a little bit. And after we pray, maybe as others are filing out, if you'd like to talk about this further, if you'd like to just sit down and let's find out a little bit more about how I can be saved, and I can be saved this morning and know my sins forgiven for all eternity. I want that pardon that's sitting there in heaven with my name on it. And I want to do it this morning. I'd like to lead you to the Lord. I'd like to talk with you and to share more if it need be and pray with you. So as we pray, and then we're dismissed, If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, the Spirit of God is saying to you, this might be the last time, you come down to the front and let's just sit and talk. And talk to the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come before you this morning and we confess that we are helpless sinners, condemned under thy judgment. We've sinned against you in a terrible way. Our life is just full of a record that documents our selfishness, our willful disobedience. And yet, Lord, you have told us that the blood that's been shed on Calvary's cross can wipe that record clean, that there is a pardon, and that we can be fully forgiven by a holy and a just God. Lord, we just pray if there's someone here that's never accepted that gift, that free gift of your grace, as they've exercised faith and trust in you, may you just stir their heart this morning. May the Spirit of God so make them discomforted and stirred within that they'll have no peace until they come and find peace with yourself for all eternity. Lord, may be that for some soul this morning, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.